And now to In the Field. And today we're in Canberra to look at the work of Heather Sutherland, an important architect working between the wars. Heather's work can be seen primarily in the domestic houses and played an important role in shaping Canberra's contemporary aesthetic. But like many of her female contemporaries, her influence is not fully understood, her work often buried under the signature of her male contemporaries. She did, however, have a very famous sister. This story will surprise you.
We're standing on Melbourne Avenue, just down the road from Parliament House in Canberra, outside a suburban house.
Yes, so built in 1937, designed by Malcolm Moyer, who was very well known in Canberra at the time, and who married Heather Sutherland. And so it has some of Heather Sutherland's touches in it as well.
Actually, it was a very avant-garde house in its day. Can you tell me a little bit about Heather Sutherland? Most of our audience won't know who she is and why she's important.
She was an architect trained under Leslie Wilkinson at the University of Sydney, as was Malcolm Moyer, in the 1920s. And there were a number of women in that class who did also become reasonably well-known architects. She's a particularly interesting person because we can see the evidence here in the National Capital of her work in some of the houses like this one, modernist houses. And the expression of these women's work in domestic architecture is particularly important once we lift the veil from actually recognising the work of women, and also the veil that suggests that domestic architecture is somehow less important or less an achievement than public and commercial work.
Of course, in 1936-37, Canberra had just begun and there was a lot of building underway. Houses for prominent people and not so prominent people, of course. I wonder how this house was considered in its time. Was it beyond normal, or was it just fitting in with the culture of experimentation and the avant-garde of the era?
It was considered very different and, in fact, quite radical. As you say, Canberra was barely 10 years old then. And the general style of architecture for the moving here of the seat of government from Melbourne in 1927 was, we'd have to say, conservative. Elegant, but conservative. And here we're in the suburb of Forest, where the Moore and Sutherland House is, was actually the division of Blandfordia.
Interesting name.
Yes, Marion Marnie Griffin and Walter Belly Griffin's division of Blandfordia. They used a lot of names that represent the locality, and here we're actually looking at the floor of the place. Blandfordia is a Christmas bell. So Blandfordia is one of the early divisions, and so this Forest is a very early suburb. So we're looking at really the origins of the National Capital, and in a suburb like this, it's kind of enshrining those values too, the civic values, the democratic values. So it's not too long a bow to draw to suggest that this very avant-garde architecture here, quite different from the standard federal capital architecture, is taking those ideals a step further.
It's a private house, of course, and we're standing on the street looking in. We can't go in, can we?
No, but what we can do is note some of the features here, the lovely modernist features on the door, the shape of the building itself. It's a very elegant...
It's quite boxy. I was thinking it'd be more Art Deco, but it's not. It's got quite a clear line.
It does. I wouldn't say boxy so much as simple. And when we see it here on a beautiful summer Canberra morning against the blue sky and the gum trees, we really get an ideal. We can imagine someone standing right here taking a photograph of this house in 1938, soon after they'd moved in, and there's a luncheon party going on inside. And at that luncheon party, Heather Sutherland and Winsome Hall Andrew, her friend and her architect friend, notice this woman standing outside taking a photograph, standing right where we are now, and of course come out and introduce themselves to her. And the photographer is Marion Marnie Griffin. Mm. And she says to them, apologises for taking the photograph, but says this is one of the two buildings in Canberra that Walter would have liked. So really getting this view of this beautiful house is seeing the house in its setting.
Now, we're at the side of this beautiful house. Actually, it's a little street off Melbourne Avenue. So what's important about the side of this house, Lenore?
It's setting in its landscape and its orientation. So its frontage on Melbourne Avenue, where we're just standing, is very pleasant but not overwhelming. And here we're in the little side street, Ord Street. Now, we notice the staircase going up the side there, which gives access to the studio. So it means people, clients, can go to the studio without going in
through the front door.
The private part of the house, yes. So the staircase and that curved part we can see there, the brickwork, it was designed by Heather Sutherland in 1941, so after they were living in the house and they established the studio above it. In a sense, it's to turn what was designed by Moir as a family house into the combined practice and family house of a career couple.
It's a very modern concept to have a workspace and a house together. Do you think this was the female influence? One that, I don't mean it as a female influence, but as a really innovative idea that really had some years to play out.
Yes, I do think that. And in fact, this little staircase that we can see, I think, represents that idea that it is possible to do the two things together, to have it all, as the expression is now. And so this house is very important for that.
Were the garages in the original plan?
No, there weren't. And I mean, this is another very interesting aspect about the national capital and the motor car. Carports tended to be built then, or garages, just a shelter for a car, or a garage separate from the house, not usually connected to it. So the house that we can look up further up Ord Street was really the first house in Canberra that had a garage built underneath it that Heather Sutherland designed.
This is By Design. I'm Jan Ryan and I'm with historian Lenore Coulthart. We're exploring the work of Canberra-based architect Heather Sutherland. Lenore, I'm bursting at the seams and I have to bring this up now. Heather had a very famous sister, half-sister. Can you say who it is?
Yes, well, Joan Sutherland was born the year that Heather graduated in architecture from the University of Sydney.
She 1926.
And Heather's father had remarried. Her mother died in the influenza epidemic in 1919 and her father remarried. And so there were two more sisters from that marriage and Joan was the youngest. And in her memoirs recollects the joy of being allowed to look at her eldest sister at work on her architectural table in the family breakfast room at the house in Port Piper.
So they actually shared a house for a little while. Joan is a little baby and Heather is a mature lady.
Well, as a young unmarried woman. And it is interesting because it points to the difficulty for these, for her fellow women graduates and indeed some of the men in finding work during the Depression years. So the fact that she was working at home in Sydney suggests that she was trying to maintain some work. She had worked for the firm of Clement Glancy, the Sydney firm, where quite a few of the other young women graduates also worked. And Clement Glancy's practice mostly designed churches and cathedrals. In fact, St. Christopher's Cathedral here is one of his.
Lenore, were there many women architects at the time? Now, they went through Leslie Wilkinson's architecture department, and that was the first one at Sydney University.
That's right. Some of the best known of the women graduates, Winsome Hall Andrew, Rosette Edmonds, and, of course, Heather Sutherland. And there were quite a few, but referring to an earlier By Design program last November when there was a very interesting discussion on the gap between the number of women graduates in architecture and the number of women practicing in the profession. Well, you'll find the same thing, that you get a lot more graduates than you get women in practice.
Lenore, now we're standing outside of a house designed solely by Heather.
Yes, and in fact, if you imagine this as a single-storey house, that was the part she designed.
Because she died early.
She died in 1953. She was killed in a car accident, actually on her way to a job in Yarralumla, crossing Adelaide Avenue, not far from us here, when a truck hit her car. She had a little Austin A40 and she was killed instantly. Mm. She was 49 or 50, so it was actually quite young.
Yeah.
Her ideas live on.
Her ideas live on. The orientation of this house, again, is very interesting when we're talking about houses being as early as the 1930s and 1940s, houses being so cleverly oriented to capture everything that they need about both the climate, the landscape and the topography. And here, this house is a very good example of that. She built the single-storey part, and there is a garage underneath at the back. And then for the same owner, Malcolm Moyer, some 15, 20 years later, added the top floor. They designed a lot of Blandfordia houses, and it's very, very interesting to walk around these older suburbs and see them.
Lenore, thank you so much for showing me around Heather Sutherland's houses on Melbourne Avenue in Canberra.
Thanks very much, Jen.
Historian Lenore Coulthart with By Design's Jan Ryan. Heather Sutherland's story is part of Australian Women's History Month, which opens in March. Featured are many more early Australian women planners, architects and landscape designers. All the links are on our website.